The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And welcome back, Freedom 106.5 FM. And we are discussing at this time the Natural Capital Grant Challenge. And joining me in studio is two very special guests. Let me say good morning and welcome to Miss Keisha Garcia. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to have you with us here. Fine, thanks. And of course, you are the lead for Answer Merchant Bank when it comes to natural capital initiative, right?
That is correct.
And we have also Mr. Omar Mohammed. Good morning.
Good morning, Govind. Nice to be here.
Same here. Great to have you with us. And of course, you're the CEO of the Cropper Foundation.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So first, before we get into our substantive discussions, Keisha, give us a little bit of detail about Answer Merchant Bank. Our listeners may be hearing about Answer Merchant Bank quite a lot, but for those that are not very familiar with it, in a nutshell, what are some of the services and things that Answer Merchant Bank can provide to the to the customers?
Okay, so Answer Merchant Bank, as you know, are you hearing me?
Yes.
Right, Answer Merchant Bank. We provide services across investment banking, corporate banking. We also have mutual funds that are offered. And we have our sister bank, Answer Bank, which focuses a little bit more on retail services. So that's where, you know, you can get your loans for cars and other things. And under Answer Bank, you can also access corporate loans.
Great.
Yeah. But that would generally be the services.
Great. And Omar, give us an idea about the Cropper Foundation.
Yes. So the Cropper Foundation is a nonprofit. So many people know nonprofits as NGOs.
Yes.
And we've been around for 23 years. We were founded in 2000. And we work primarily on a range of sustainable development issues. So we do work in sustainable agriculture. We work with farmers. We work with other NGOs to help them, again, you know, contribute to national development. We work on issues related to climate change, climate justice, so a whole range of things under that sustainability umbrella.
All right. So when it comes to the Natural Capital Grant, now I understand this is the first of its kind. It's a grant for small and medium enterprises that is seeking to invigor and to assist mainstream the idea of incorporating nature and nature's values into everyday business operations. So, of course, seeing the linkage between ANSA and the Cropper Foundation. So how long has this grant been established and so on? And give us some more details in terms of how it works.
Okay, so I think for us to talk about the grant,
yes,
we need to talk about the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub,
right,
which is an initiative that was launched by ANSA Merchant Bank in association with Answer Bank and Answer Merchant Bank in Barbados, along with the Cropper Foundation back in July of 2022.
Okay.
So the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub is a space that we are creating. It's an initiative that is meant to mainstream natural capital approaches and thinking into business across the Caribbean region. And we are working with our NGO partner, the Cropper Foundation, to bring several stakeholders on board to look at opportunities for us to be able to get natural capital, as I said, into different aspects of business. Recognizing, of course, that business can't do this on its own. We require private sector, we require NGOs, we require civil society, the media to come on board. So the Natural Capital Grant Challenge is one of the initiatives. It's a flagship initiative under the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub. That was launched in May of this year. So on the 2nd of May, it was launched, and then we opened up for applications on the International Day for Biological Diversity, which was the 22nd of May this year. And that grant, I'm going to pass to Omar, and he will tell us a little bit more about what the grant is established for and who it targets, etc.
Sure. So the grant, as you said, Govind, targets small and medium enterprises who have or are thinking about ways to incorporate nature into their work. So they might be a business that already does that. So maybe it can be a farmer who's creating compost to sell to other farmers. It could be a tour agency that wants to do you know, tours for tourists specifically targeting, you know, going to replant mangrove or going to do snorkeling and scuba diving and
right. So the ecotourism.
Ecotourism, but actually contributing to conservation and that sort of right. thing. Or you could be, you know, like a housing development company who says, oh, maybe we could actually offer more green spaces in our housing developments as a new way of incorporating nature, reduce flooding and so on. So it's really a challenge to help bring out some of these ideas. Because people, and what we found, and honestly, Keisha might back me up here, we found some incredible examples of people saying, I think I'm doing this and this is why, or I'm doing this particular enterprise and I have this idea. And in many cases, these ideas are incredibly innovative. So the challenge really is meant to help springboard some of these initiatives. We're still open for applications until August 28th, and we're going to shortlist the applications that show the most promise, show maybe some of the, you know, deeper thinking behind what they've proposed to do. And then we're going to engage in a couple months of incubation with those shortlisted entities, because you know it's still a very new idea,
right?
So they might have the business side, but they need some help on the nature side or vice versa
to incorporate it. Yeah,
so at the end of that incubation period, we're then going to do a more traditional pitch where they come before a final panel and pitch this expanded idea, and then we award the prizes, which is a non-reimbursable grant, so they don't, it's not a loan or anything.
Sure.
And then they take that and go off to, you know, kickstart their new idea.
It's interesting that you mentioned that there is this incubation period to really help all of these innovative ideas when it comes to including nature into the business activities. Because I'm thinking a lot of other programs and so on that we hear about is just submitting your ideas, whether the idea is bought into or not, mm-hmm. sort of like Shark Tank, for want of a better explanation of it. So you're really encouraging persons to get involved, get engaged, and to give back.
Yes. So the idea really is that particularly, so again, as Keisha said, this is a partnership under the hub. But Answer Merchant Bank, Trinidad Tobago and Barbados, and Answer Bank, they're really invested in the idea of creating these pipelines. So showing that, you know, these financial institutions have a vested interest in helping people sort of innovate and come out with market-ready ideas. Because, of course, for them as a financial institutions, it's opening up a wider base for supporting, you know, different aspects of the economy. And then for us as an NGO, you know, we really want to show people that this idea of protecting and conserving nature is not the job of, not just the job of NGOs or governments, but, you know, if you have a small business, you can play an extremely important role in, you know, maintaining or actually enhancing.
Because I was actually going to come to that, because I'm wondering, because the grant is focused on small and medium enterprises, SMEs. I was wondering what would have spurred that thought process in terms of pushing it or focusing it on these SMEs as opposed to the large corporations. Because, I mean, the large organizations and corporations would have naturally larger budgets, maybe larger resources, larger plants, factories. If they implement something, you can see a big change. But why these small and medium enterprises?
Well, SMEs, as we have come to understand, constitute quite a large bit of the business enterprises around the Caribbean region.
Right.
The other side of that is that we've also discovered that SMEs traditionally have not had access to capital to grow their businesses in the way that, you know, would make them sustainable and make them flourish. So we see an opportunity here to target an important part of the economy, and especially when we look at things like food security, we look at building livelihoods, investing in our communities. This is an opportunity here for us to get into an area that is to date underdeveloped, but it also, as Omar says, opens up that part of the economy where traditionally the capital has not been invested and made available in the way that, right, you know, would grow those SMEs.
Because I know based on the information, the Caribbean Development Bank data a couple of years ago, it was stated that the SMEs make up between 70% and 80% of businesses in the region, which is what you were getting to. And of course, indicating, because we know these small and micro enterprises may be very focused on building and growth and so on. And they may have all of these great innovative ideas, but may not have the capital. And that's where Answer comes in.
That's correct. And let me also add to that, and Omar was getting very close to this point, which is that in the work that SMEs are doing, remember, they are on the ground. They are the ones that are really in touch with nature and allowing us to build our base in terms of climate resilience and other things. So this is a very important group, I think, that needs to be included in any discussion about natural capital and climate resilience and, you know, anything to do with nature.
Yeah, because I remember looking a couple of weeks ago at a post that would have been done, I think, by World Economic Forum. And they actually did some research in city centers and areas that were heavily industrial in terms of buildings and just looking at the temperature. And just areas that had more greenery, plants and tree lines, streets and so on, a marked difference from probably between 10 degrees of difference. And we could appreciate that here in Port of Spain with the rainfall and that sort of thing and the heat as well. So we've been having terrible weather recently. So it's, I think it's really commendable that your organization, Cropper Foundation, and Answer Merchant Bank as well, taking this initiative to lead this notable cause. How has been the response so far?
And very positive. We have had applications, and Omar was explaining, you know, that we have had ideas coming in that make you go back and go, oh, people are doing this in Trinidad and Tobago. Right. So we're seeing these SMEs not only operating in traditional spaces that you would connect with nature, like, you know, agriculture. I don't want to undermine those are right, super important. But we're seeing applications coming in from education, entertainment, all aspects of economic development, you know, livelihoods. And I must say that we are very, very encouraged. We are very motivated by what we see coming in. And we want to ensure that we can support this and give it the best that we can through the incubator program that you yourself were mentioning. And what I want to say here is that it's not just the shortlisted applicants who will receive mentoring from us to develop the business and grow their SMEs. We have such a pool coming in that what we will do is, under the hub, the applicants that are not shortlisted, we will work with them to provide some training and, well, capacity building in developing their business model and in incorporating natural capital considerations. It won't be as intense, of course, as the shortlisted applicants, but we want to ensure that we continue to support these SMEs in whatever way we can. So we encourage people to apply, come on in. Even if you're at an early stage, come on in. We're open to providing the support that is required. And as we say, all are welcome.
So it's not just about those that are selected, but really helping everyone. So it's a win-win situation for all those that apply. Speaking about applying, how can persons apply?
So you can do a couple of things. If you are on social media, you can search for the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub on Facebook as well as LinkedIn. And we've been sharing all the links that you can click on to apply. You can, if you're also on social media, you can go to Answer Merchant Bank or Answer Bank's social media. They've also been reposting the links and the application process and the Cropper Foundation. You can also go to Answer Merchant Bank's website itself. And on that website, you will see a tab that you can click that says Natural Capital. And that takes you to the sort of full web page with all of the details that you can also use to learn about natural capital if it's an unfamiliar term. And it takes you off to the application form, which we should let people know. It's not a very complicated process. We don't ask, you know, a whole lot. So while we have about a week left, you know, there's still enough time for you to get something in, because it's not a very super detailed, involved, cumbersome process. Yeah.
Yeah. And can I add as well that now in this very final stage, because we've actually had some requests coming in where people are saying to us, I think I am doing what is required, but I'm not sure. How will I know if my project fits? What I'm going to say is that in addition to the means that Omar has just explained, I'm going to give my number in case people wish to call in. If they have, you know, questions about whether what they're doing is valid, please give me a call and we can walk you through that. So my number is 430-5226.
Okay, great. So again, for listeners, 430-5226. And you could reach Ms. Garcia there to get more information about this wonderful initiative. And of course, it's under the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub as well. So in terms of the determination of the project and so on, or projects, how many projects or projects, one, or was it one or multiple projects that will be selected?
Three. Well, the shortlisting right now, because we have received quite a number of applications, we've exceeded in terms of our own expectations. We have a number of applications coming in.
So we've exceeded those expectations already?
Our own expectations.
Okay, great. Phenomenal.
Yeah, so as I told you, we're very motivated. We are still to determine how many will be shortlisted in this first instance. But what we know for sure is that the top three projects, or the top three SMEs, will receive grant funding, as explained by Omar. And the top prize is, in fact, 100,000 Trinidad and Tobago dollars.
Wow. So that definitely will go a long way to get those projects off the ground. So, of course, the top three projects will be in receipt of the grant funding. And you mentioned that, aside from that, they will also get some mentorship with the Capital Hub initiative as well. Give us a little bit more in terms of this mentoring aspect. What exactly would it entail, and what benefits can be derived?
Okay. So for the wider group, the ones that are not shortlisted, what we will do is we will design a few capacity building workshops where we will want to hear from the applicants what are their needs, what would they like to receive from us. And those capacity building workshops will then respond to those needs. Most of those will be online, but of course we will from time to time look at opportunities to bring people in and engage with them. But they will be sort of, these capacity building workshops will be delivered collectively. When we look at the shortlisted applicants now under the incubator program, this is where things get a little bit more intense. And we will do both training workshops, capacity building workshops, along two lines. One would be the business development side of things, as Omar had explained, and the other would look at how you can improve your natural capital approaches, the opportunities for improving natural capital approaches within your business. So we will be doing some one-on-one mentoring with shortlisted applicants based on their specific needs and circumstances. We will do some collective workshops there, but we will also do some on-site visits to places where these SMEs are established to assess and work with them in that mentoring process about how, you know, they can improve their business practices and natural capital considerations.
Okay, so for businesses and business activities that may not be very aligned with natural resources and that sort of thing, how would you encourage them to consider including more of such practices into their day-to-day operations?
So there's a really fantastic quote that really sort of drove this idea 4 years ago. And it's this concept of, you know, historically people have thought you had economy on one side and nature on one side.
Right.
But, and this quote says, well, economies are actually embedded in nature. There's nothing that we do that is divorced or separate. Even if you think what you're doing isn't related to natural capital, it is. You know, to get to work, if it's flooding because of deforestation in Northern Range, that impacts your ability to do your work. So it's the hub itself, and through this grand challenge, our goal really is to get people, even if you don't apply in this round, gets you thinking, what does my business do that depends on nature that I probably haven't thought about. If I'm doing screen printing of t-shirts, cotton t-shirts,
right,
and I import that from a Central American country, for example, you probably don't even think about these things on a regular basis. But you do some digging and find, oh, this country actually is suffering a lot from drought because of climate change. Because, you know, many countries are.
Yes.
And cotton, for example, is a very water-intensive crop. So if you're importing this, in 10 years, your cost of production might skyrocket because the cotton may be harder to produce and therefore the cost will go up. So if you start thinking about some of these things now, you can start making decisions based on risk and opportunity. So it's really just to get people to understand that everything that you do does have some kind of dependency. Mm-hmm. And then conversely, you always have an impact.
So thinking about the bigger picture,
the bigger
grand
picture,
scheme, yeah, of things.
Exactly.
So can I add here as well that, so under the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub, so this is the hub now itself. This is an ongoing program, as I said, being implemented by Ansa Merchant Bank and Ansa Bank and Ansa Merchant Bank Barbados together with Cropper, the Cropper Foundation, where we want to provide ongoing support to help companies and others to look at opportunities for mainstreaming natural capital approaches. So as we move along, I invite all our listeners here, if you think that you'd like to be a part of this movement, sign up to the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub. The sign-up information is on our webpage as well. Call that number I just gave you, and I can give you more information if you wish. But under this hub, we will continue to roll out activities to help businesses and others to understand natural capital. Just as Omar had explained how you depend on it, how you impact on it, we will also be generating information, looking at different tools that can be applied to businesses at different levels to incorporate nature. So there are many different aspects of the work that we're doing. And next year, this is in July of 2024, we'll be having a Caribbean Natural Capital Summit.
In July?
We want to bring businesses and other stakeholders from around the region to talk about opportunities to incorporate natural capital considerations, building our resilience to climate change and other disasters. So look out for that as well.
Will this be in Trinidad or in Barbados or so?
It will be in Trinidad thus far, okay. In terms of our planning. We also do, to the extent that we can, as we collaborate with partners, we attend other events and provide capacity building at events.
So giving that level of support as well.
Yes.
Very good.
So companies, as I said, join the hub. If you sign up for the hub, it's not an onerous process. Sign up for the hub, there's no cost. You will be in receipt of information about when things are happening, what is happening. You could look at opportunities.
Of course, businesses, organizations, what about individuals? Can they also join the hub as well?
Yes, they can. So we are engaging with people at different levels, like in different capacities, individuals, organizations, institutions.
NGOs and so on.
Yes, of course. So come on board and we will be, working with those interested to, be a part of this movement.
I know you mentioned it is an ongoing process in terms of assisting the organization's mentorship, the training program, the business development, increasing the implementation and awareness of the natural capital resources and the approaches that businesses use. But when it comes to the grant, will this also be an annual thing and biannual? How is it going to unfold?
So what we have in store thus far, we've launched the first one here in Trinidad. Our second one will take place in Barbados, and that one will be launched early next year, and we'll be focusing there on an innovation challenge where we invite ideas to come forward, and we're looking here at the blue economy. How can, you don't need to be a registered business in Barbados for this one, but how can we add to that pool of knowledge and innovation towards building a blue economy? Beyond that, we do expect to have these types of initiatives that influence practice on a rolling basis. Not 100% sure whether we will begin rolling out in other countries and have certain things here in Trinidad. We are also looking right now into some research and how we can roll that out, maybe also looking at a challenge in the way we do that. So many things coming, many good things coming.
It's interesting, Omar, that you pointed out that, you know, there's this very clear and direct link to nature. And I think a lot of times businesses may kind of miss that point, Keisha, because we kind of get so focused on the core element of the business in terms of if it's a finished product or a service that we're rendering. And we don't think about all the factors that come together to really create that. And I think nature also has perhaps a psychological impact on persons and definitely business minds too. Because for me personally, I get caught up in a lot of things and sometimes I just try to take a 5 minutes and just sit in nature. It could just be in a park and it just becomes so calming to me. So would you like to see more perhaps green spaces? I've seen a number of cities where they have implemented green projects in big buildings, skyscrapers and all those things. Do you think Trinidad Tobago is ready for that next stage, and can initiatives like this get us to that point?
Yeah, I think just as you said, I mean, there's a lot of evidence that shows, you know, even in urban centers, that just having trees lowers the ambience, so the temperature all around you by, you know, 2 degrees, 3 degrees, which people might kind of say, well, that's nothing. But I think we all know these days that's a lot. Because, you know, I live somewhere that is, you know, you do have a lot more greenery. And let me tell you, it's a massive difference. And I think, you know, especially, you know, when we, because it's only going to get hotter. I think that's something that we can all see in terms of, you know, where the science is going, where the sort of estimations are going. So we do have to start thinking about how we are. So, you know, and, you know, these ideas of what you might call nature-based solutions, you know, they're often much cheaper to implement than infrastructure, you know, sort of built infrastructure.
Right.
They create jobs because, you know, somebody has to maintain these things. And you generally have, you know, better returns on investments, both in terms of the impacts, but also from a cost perspective, because somebody also has to, you know, to pay for these things. So I think it is something that, you know, we need to be paying attention to. You know, I think historically, you know, we've sort of maybe not paid as close enough attention to the state of our natural resources, as opposed to, I think, other, you know, sister and brother islands around the Caribbean. But I think now we're starting, I think, to see what happens if you don't pay close enough attention. And like I said, it's not just the heat, or it's not just...
That's just one element.
It's just one element. But again, everyone now has a version of, you know, what people call climate anxiety. Like if you live out of Port of Spain and you work in Port of Spain and rain starts to fall, you can't tell me that you don't start to get anxious. Like, can I drive out of here? You know,
the minute it starts to rain, everybody just... mass exodus out of the capital.
So, you
I
know,
see
I
it almost every day.
People are starting to really feel that.
Right.
So I think there is a chance now when people realize. I think, as Keisha was saying, it's a good time to start breaking down those kind of silos. Like, it's not just the government's job, or it's not just the environmental NGO's job.
Everybody has a role to play.
Everyone. SMEs, right. Big companies, and so on.
Can I add to what Omar was saying here as well? You know, a lot of people now know about climate change. A lot of us know what the impacts of climate change look like and will continue to look like. What people don't understand as well, and Omar just mentioned nature-based solutions, what people don't understand as well is that link between climate and nature and how important nature is in helping us to adapt and in some cases even mitigate against climate change. So in looking at opportunities, as you were saying, you know, in the business arena, as we look at climate, we look at the reporting, because now companies also have obligations that are coming upon us in terms of reporting. As we look at these, you know, needs coming to us internationally, and as we look at our own needs in terms of adapting to climate change, understanding those links between nature and climate become very, very important. So it's not silos again. It's not a climate discussion or a nature discussion. No longer is nature about petting the polar bears and watching beautiful birds. It's about understanding how the water that we drink comes from nature. The floods that we experience are as a result of the deterioration of nature. So making those links, I think, is part of what we want to do under the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub, to build that awareness, to build the understanding, and to identify those opportunities where nature can be used to help us to become more resilient.
Now, Mama, you spoke about, you know, the heat element as being one factor. Mm-hmm. And Keisha, you mentioned drinking water, that's a big deal. And I think it's really, really important, because sometimes we don't think about all of these elements, because I'm thinking about air quality as well, too. A lot of times people coming into the nation's capital may face that thick smog in the morning, close to the landfill and that sort of thing. And I can't help but recall other industrial areas such as, in Delhi and Mumbai, where the air quality is horrible, hazardous levels, and they have heavy industrialization. During the midst or the height of the COVID-19 pandemic as well, we saw a lot more areas, because of a slowdown of business activity, nature would have been able to sort of reset a bit, mm-hmm. and to come back to that pristine level. Now, although we would all like that, we can't have business coming to a grinding halt. So it's really crucial to get that balancing point, that sort of equilibrium. And I think in an initiative like this definitely is a step in the right direction. What do you think for the future about Trinidad and Tobago and the other territories in the region coming on to your initiative?
Well, we're positive. You know, we're very, so far, as I said, we are very motivated. We have been to a number of conferences. I started this job 4 months ago, and I've been to several conferences where I'm hearing from the public that they want change. I'm hearing from the business community that they're interested in change and in supporting change. So I think the ground is fertile. I think there are several opportunities for us to do what is required. We need to look at the important partnerships under the hub that need to be fledged, need to be built, you know, and looking at how Ansa Merchant Bank, Barbados, and the Cropper Foundation, how we can work with others. So we're not closing this off. This is not an exclusive club. It has to be open. It has to be a space where we try to build that critical mass. So I think that we are positive. We want to be strategic, one step at a time. As you say, change doesn't occur overnight.
Yeah.
The idea here is to start to shift that trajectory a little bit, start to move it in what we call a nature positive direction. Okay. So when people talk about sustainable and we achieve sustainable development, well, I'm not sure that even exists. You work towards greater sustainability, and it's a trajectory. And that's what we want to do. We want to move that alignment so that we are with our collaborators across the Caribbean, building that mass, that critical mass, where we start to see some changes. And that's our hope, and that's what we're investing in right now.
Now, Keisha mentioned already that there have been a number of persons submitting their applications and so on for this grant. But I think even the idea behind this whole initiative is innovative in itself, because we've all been hearing about climate change. Omar, you would notice you're an NGO that focuses on this for so many years. On the world stage, we have world leaders always talking about it. We hear about it at the UN. We have all of these things being signed. And for a long time, I felt a bit hopeless that it's such a gargantuan task to get, and especially for us, Trinidad and Tobago. We're a small island developing state. We're surrounded by water. We are directly in the line of fire, I guess, when it comes to climate change. And I think an initiative like this really will get that momentum going. Yeah. So again, just remind our listeners about this whole grant, how they can get part, how they can submit applications, and what's the end result that we are looking to get.
Yes, so the Natural Capital Grant Challenge, which is being, you know, primarily supported by Ansa Merchant Bank and Ansa Bank, and of course, you know, supported by the Cropper Foundation and the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub. The deadline for applications, August 28th, So we have, you know, just about a week again for person supply. And just to remind folks that it's not a very complicated process. It's not a long application form. You just have to put some details about what you currently do in your SME and how you see natural capital being incorporated into the work itself of your SME. And after that, we will do a shortlisting and then invite shortlisted applicants to be part of this incubator program. So to apply, like I said, you can visit the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub, Answer Merchant Bank, Trinidad and Tobago on social media, as well as the Cropper Foundation across social media. We've been posting graphics and links that will guide people to where they need to go. Or you can go directly to Answer Merchant Bank's website, where you would see a tab in the menu where most people go to navigate that says Natural Capital. It'll take you to the website where you would learn more about Natural Capital if you want to refresh your memory or start from scratch. And then it'll take you to the application form that you can then fill out. And of course, you can call Keisha Garcia, who is the Natural Capital lead, at
430-5226. And that's if you have questions and you still have, you know, those doubts about whether do I even have natural capital in my business. Is this something that pertains to me? Call me and I will guide.
Okay, great. So I want to thank you both for joining us today. I know I stole about 10 minutes extra from your time, so I appreciate you guys staying back in. But I thought it's a very important discussion. I love the initiative. And I will, you know, prod some persons within the organization to do what we can as well, to definitely keep in the loop of things and do our part as well. So again, want to thank you, of course, Ms. Keisha Garcia joining us today from, of course, Answer Merchant Bank. She is the Natural Capital Lead. And of course, Mr. Omar Mohammed today, of course, CEO of the Cropper Foundation. So jump on to the socials. You could visit the Caribbean Natural Capital Hub on social media, LinkedIn, Answer Merchant Bank, Answer Bank, and their website as well, and also the Cropper Foundation for more information. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. We'll be back after this.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.